another episode of Sideline Times. This series takes a look at various sports and events which take place in Limerick throughout the year. Sport has an incredible ability to evoke heartfelt emotion from all involved. It is with this in mind that competitions are organised to commemorate members of the community who have lost their lives in tragic circumstances. This documentary follows the story of the O'Brien Cup, a rugby competition created to honour the lives of Andrew and John O'Brien. On the 26th of September 1994, a fire broke out in a three-story apartment in Brighton, Boston, claiming the lives of the two brothers. Earlier that year, Andrew had come to Boston after qualifying as an electrician, while John arrived in June, getting a job in a local furniture company. However, John was due to return home for the start of the academic year as he was studying applied physics in the University of Limerick. In 1995, the two colleges of LIT and UL came together to create a rugby competition which is now known as the O'Brien Cup and is played between the two colleges each year. This special colours match is contested between the two colleges each year to remember the two young men. Throughout this programme, we will hear from various players and organisers of this annual event who will discuss the importance of the match, not only in the rugby calendar, but also as a celebration highlighting the lives of two wonderful Limerick men. We spoke to Limerick students to find out what they thought of the idea of memorial matches. What do you think of matches that are used to commemorate people?
I think it's kind of a nice tradition, particularly if the person has really contributed something to the community or, you know, something on a national level. It's kind of nice to look back and remember that person and to do something to say, well, well done.
I have no problem with it. I think it's a good idea.
I think it's a really nice idea. I think it's a really nice way to remember somebody, and it's something that the whole community can get together and do.
I think it's a really good idea to commemorate somebody that's put a lot of time and effort into a certain sport or a club, because they probably had personal contact with them, and that way their memory will probably live on in the club history and they won't be forgotten.
I think they're a very good idea. If you have someone who's been involved in a club, give it soccer, hurling, football, rugby, whatever it is, for a long time, I think it's a nice way to remember them. And you know, I know people give out about them and say they're pointless and boring, but I wouldn't mind having a match played for myself, I suppose.
A memorial match? Yeah, I'd say it's a nice idea. I've never been to one now or anything, but I suppose it's a nice way of remembering local sports person.
Well, I'd be pretty involved with sports in my parish, so I know memorial matches always have a great turnout. It's a brilliant way of keeping the name of that person around and also acknowledging what they've done for the parish and the club at the same time.
So now that we've heard about what students think of such matches, let's hear from Dave Mahidi, who is Director of Sports and Recreation at UL. Dave is one of the many people who help organise the O'Brien Cup every year.
Dave Mahidi is my name, and I'm Director of Sport and Recreation at the University of Limerick, which would be in charge of all the various sports and facilities and the recreation sport.
And so where did the idea for the game originate?
Well, it originated as a direct result of unfortunate. There was a terrible, terrible tragedy in the O'Brien family, where their two sons, Andrew and John, were involved in a fire in Boston in 1994, and both of them tragically died in this apartment fire. It was well known at the time. One of the boys was in UN and one of the boys was in LIT. So they tried to think of something appropriate to honour the lads. They both had background in sport, and they put up the trophy, the O'Brien Trophy, and it's played for annually between LIT and UL in rugby.
And when did the competition begin?
Well, 1995 would have been the first year then, because tragically that happened in summer when lads were off on summer vacation. So it was the following year that it started, 1995. So it's been going ever since, and each year the UL and LIT play.
So you work with the UL team. How important is a game like this to their yearly calendar?
Oh, it's very important in that it's a once-off game. It's a special game in the calendar. You'll have a number of games that you play every year, competitions, and you'll be playing in this, that, and the other. But this one stands separate. So it is the mainstay of the season, and then the other games are built around it.
Has victories in the matches been fairly balanced between the two colleges?
Well, I suppose it varies. Last year UL won it, but the previous number of years LIT had won it maybe two or three, if not four in a row. So I suppose over the period that it's been run, it's probably fairly even, and which is great.
Yes,
because you don't want one college dominating over the other. And it can vary at times with different fixtures, you know, and availability of players. Sometimes we run into fixture congestion. It'd be difficult to get the best teams out for both teams. So that can vary, but it's been fairly even, you know, over the years. As I said, last year UL won it, but certainly the previous three or four years LIT, and then UL had a run before that, so, you know, it's fairly even.
And is it difficult to find a date for the match?
Yeah, it can be difficult because there's so much rugby played in the Munster area and the Limerick area, and a lot of these players will be involved with clubs as well, be it Shannon Garrion, UL Bowes, Young Munsters, you know, so... It can be difficult to squeeze it in. Over the last few years, we've been lucky. We've kind of got it at quiet times, but then there's AIL this week, so there's always something happening.
Yes.
And it can be difficult, but it's a midweek fixture, and most clubs cooperate. But then you know you can run into awkward situations.
Sure.
where players are needed, you know, for two teams.
So how do you keep the competition promoted? Is it hard to keep it supported?
Yeah, it's generally well supported. Every second year, like for a number of years, it was held in Thomond Park. Now Thomond Park has kind of got too big to host it, so it's been hosted, say, 1 year here, 1 year in LIT. So this year it's on campus here. So you would get the campus community drifting out, and it is well supported. How do you get it across? Through the usual, you know, screens on campus, the signs go up and things like that, and. Tom's on campus are around, but generally speaking it's well supported by the home team, and then you know a number from the other, but
sure.
Limerick is small enough that that people drift across in different sides of the city.
Are the players aware of the history behind the game?
They should be, or they are, most of them, but then new people coming in, you know, only really find out, and they find out a little bit about it at the actual dinner afterwards, where the two teams have dinner together, and there's various speeches and they'd find out a bit more behind it. And, you know, new players coming in first years mightn't be aware of it, but certainly, you know, after playing it and by the time they go through the college, they are well aware of it, and it's something that, you know, there's a programme for the event. It's outlined in the programme, you know, exactly what the trophy was called after and why, and the fact that both the lads were UL and LIT means that it's very, very special to both colleges, and it's something that we want to continue and keep the names of the lads going, and as long as that game runs, then their memory runs on as well in sport.
Now the game has also been called the Colours Match. Is there a particular reason for this?
Well, it would be probably because there are Colours Matches, say, between, it's a term used for Oxford versus Cambridge, it's for UCD versus Trinity, some call it local derby, some call it old firms like in Scotland, but colours seems to be the university term, because to play for your university of old, you got your colours, and this was it came from that, and it's called a Colours Match between the two local colleges.
And has there been any changes to the competition over recent years?
There is a freshers game before that, which is an addition this year. That certainly hasn't happened before, where first years are playing against first years. So obviously there's a lot of members in the clubs, both clubs, which is great.
Right.
It's gone in the bowl, which is the centre of the track, and it's the main rugby area. So the last rugby team now to be on that pitch was the Irish rugby team, getting ready for the France game.
Tony Wallace is a rugby referee and an LIT lecturer. He spoke with us after the 2008 Colours match to emphasise the importance of the match, not only in terms of a memorial, but also as a competitive match.
Hi, my name is Tony Wallace. I've been involved in rugby in LIT I would imagine since the early 90s. I'm a lecturer in LIT and I'm a rugby referee, presently I'm president of the Munster Association of Referees. So that would be my involvement with rugby. I'm involved in the committee of the rugby club in LIT.
Why was the Colours match established?
It was mooted that in order to promote colleges rugby and probably create a fixture mirroring the Colours match in, between Oxford and Cambridge, we were trying to promote and highlight the standard of rugby that was in Limerick. So we, in conjunction with UL, we finally got together and we organised the first Colours match.
Tell us a bit about the difficulties the game has gone through in the past.
Well, the difficulty with the Colours match this year, it was so late, because prior to this, well, we had established the game in Thomond Park in 99, and because Thomond Park was out of commission, and indeed with other circumstances, the rugby season ran a bit late, and as a result the Colours match was far too late to for some of our students, and indeed some of our rugby players. They were concerned about exams, and quite rightly so. You could understand that injuries at that stage would certainly hinder their preparation for exams. But equally, some of the players had finished their season with their clubs and probably felt that there was danger of injury in that, so you can understand why players would have felt the need to cry off. Having said that, the players who played, fair play to them, they gave it 100%, and congratulations to Brian and all the gang. We're very happy with them.
Why is the match important to LIT?
It's important because it keeps us on a par with our close educational neighbour. I suppose it's important that the institute should maintain a high profile, particularly in areas where we compete with the larger institutes or the larger universities, and it's important that we should maintain that high level of focus, particularly out there in the public, where students would recognise that LIT is a highly motivated educational establishment, but also highly motivated in the sporting establishment through the rugby and indeed other sports, and in particular you can imagine the hurling, the Fitzgibbon Cup. So we have a high profile of sport.
Is the standard of competition fairly high between the two teams?
Generally speaking, it would be. I mean, it wasn't unusual in the past to have budding internationals playing with either side. So this year was a bit of a drop because of the lateness of the fixture, but we felt it was important to keep it going. Next year we'll have other plans, and probably, hopefully, we'll be back in Thomond Park and we can make it a feature.
How can the profile of the game be raised?
Well, I think you've got to raise the profile of the game. You must have the top players in both colleges playing. And I think one way of getting around that is perhaps creating a situation where the Colours match would be a special game, whereby maybe the president of UL and the director or president of LIT would invite players to partake in the fixture, and that would give a little bit of weight when you would be dealing with their clubs trying to release players. Another way, of course, would be fitting the fixture in where there wouldn't be AIL games on the following weekend. A little bit of help. I mean, the season is pretty congested, as you can imagine, at this stage, but a fixture date must be found where it could be set on an annual basis. In other words, for example, Oxford and Cambridge play on the second Tuesday in December. Well, why can't LIT and UL play on the second Wednesday of December and leave it at that and fix it at that? And then perhaps we could raise the profile, and by raising the profile then you can encourage sponsorship and of course all other sorts of activities around the fixture.
Can you see a future for this competition?
I can see a bright future, but it's up to us to create that future.
How did the two colleges decide on which college will host the event?
For example, we were at home this year. Next year, UL will be the home team, even though hopefully the game will be played in Thomond Park. What it means is if it's UL home fixture, they organise everything around the fixture. And if it's our home fixture, well, ditto, we would take care of all the organising.
There have been some interesting outcomes from the Colours match. Would you tell us about them?
It's an interesting competition. As I said, it started in 97. And around that competition in 99, and during the Colours match in 99, we were at a function in the White House in UL, and the president of the branch was at the fixture, Eamon Tobin, who was a referee and a UL, a Bohemians man. And he actually had a chat at that stage with Roger Downer, who was the president of UL. And that was the if you like, the beginnings of the merger between UL and Bohemians. So out of the Colours match really came this merger.
So you can see this competition continuing?
Yes, I can. But I think having the discussions we've had with UL, I think they're totally committed to the competition as well. I might add that it's played for the trophy that's played for is the John O'Brien trophy. John was a student in UL and he was tragically killed with his brother in Boston, in a fire in Boston in the mid-90s, and UL put up the trophy to commemorate John, who was a keen rugby player.
Before the 2008 match, we asked students their thoughts on the game ahead.
Who do you think is going to win the match today?
Definitely LIT. It's like you go out to UL, you see their expensive equipment, buildings, everything, but like, we don't need it. We've got skill. It's all we need, like.
So it's all about heart. If you get LIT, definitely going to win today.
We're going to win. We're going to slaughter them.
I think UL should just about take it. LIT have got a good backline, but I think UL by about 4 or 5 points.
After the 2009 match, one spectator impressed us with his enthusiasm for the game and embodied what the game and cup are all about, keeping the memory of John and Andy alive through sportsmanship. So you're here as part of the memorial. You know about the O'Brien brothers?
As far as I know, there was one brother who played rugby with LIT, and then there was a second brother who was in the Rowan Club and in UL Men's Rugby Club. And they both tragically died over in Boston, as I'm sure you know. But yeah, it was set up, I think it was 95 was the first year of the game, and since then it's been going on every year. I think more interest has come up in the last couple of years. It kind of died for a while, but I mean, with the new rugby club that's in place, they kind of reinvented it and tried to make it a bit more popular or whatever. So yeah, no, it's a good crowd here now. There's a good 200, 300 people. And sure, you know, as long as they know what it's about as well. I mean, there's enough flyers going around about it as well. So, everybody's fairly well educated on what it's about, and it's good to see the sport.
Each year after the match, the host institution holds a dinner for both teams and representatives from both colleges. We attended the dinner and spoke to figures from both colleges to find out what the day meant to them. Firstly, we spoke to Alan Ward, a representative of the UL Sports Department. He told us about the significance of the game.
My name is Alan Ward. I've been with the University of Limerick Sports Department for the last 15 years. And it's through that we have the involvement with the O'Brien Memorial Cup. Obviously, there was a merger not so long ago with the University of Limerick Rugby Club and the Bohemians Rugby Club as well to form UL Bows, and it's through those affiliations that we have the association with the O'Brien Club.
So why is the match important to UL?
Well, we would feel it is an important game because it's celebrating the memory and the lives of two very special young men, John and Andy, who died tragically back in Boston, I think it was, in 1994. And it's very important that their memories are allowed to be remembered in such a way, and there's no better way than doing that through sport. In terms of the standard of rugby that was played there today, the conditions were quite good. It was a very open game. The rugby was fairly free flowing, it has to be said, and it was quite enjoyable for the spectators to watch and for the, say, the barstool experts to comment on afterwards. Conditions play a lot, you know, with regard to how a game goes, and thankfully today the weather was good and the condition was good in the pitch as well.
And how well is the game promoted?
It's promoted pretty well, particularly through the sports offices of both the institutions, both the LIT and UL. And I mean, you can see the turnout that's there. The students do always give it good support. Again, the weather plays a factor, and thankfully today it was a good day. We've had other occasions where the game was played in Thomond Park, and that adds a little bit of zest to any match, I suppose, when it's played at the home of Munster Rugby. The game is greatly supported by the staff and students of both colleges.
Brian Farrell and Mike Story describe the quality of players in the match every year and the significance of the game.
My name is Brian Farrell, I'm the Youth Development Officer for LIT Rugby Club.
So, how would this game rate in the LIT's rugby calendar for the year?
For us, it's the highlight of our calendar every year. The only thing that would top it would be the All-Ireland Colleges final, and even that would come a close second to the Colours match. The local rivalry and tradition that's there in it for the number of years is really what drives the game.
And it's a good standard.
Very good standard. Most of the lads there today are just AIL or just a level below it, so it's very high standard, and the way it goes in student rugby, it's a lovely game to watch and a lovely game to play, and I've played it myself a good few years, and yeah, it's probably some of the best games of rugby I've played have been Colours matches.
Would you say the players themselves, have they got much recognition for the memorial that it is?
Yeah, the lads that are here from first year wouldn't really understand or know the tradition, but after playing in one Colours match and you get to know the stories and all the rest of that, the lads in second and third year, you don't even have to ring them to come out for training. They're asking when is the Colours match, and they know the whole tradition behind it, the history of the two brothers and the family. And there's a lot of links as well, I think, between the student union and the club and the college and the family as well.
With the competition running for over 10 years, it's not only players who come to learn about the game and its importance. Mike Story, originally from Australia, now coaches the UL team.
I know it's about two brothers, two O'Brien brothers. They both, one studied at UL, one studied at LIT, and they both passed away. And they basically, this match was organised in memoriam for them.
So is this game a very important one?
It's the biggest game we play every year. And LIT would say the same. We play our league matches, the college league, but the colours match is the one we kind of focus on. We put all our resources into that every year, pretty much.
After the match, the feeling was one of time well spent and a match well played. This was highlighted by both team captains, Shane Hassett from LIT and Killian Kennedy from UL.
All right, Shane Hassett, I was playing number 8 today.
Hard luck losing the match today. Did you enjoy the experience anyway?
It's a great game actually to be out playing, because all the lads from first year to fourth year come together as a team and they get stuck in, and the last week or two now was kind of tough on Brian, because it took him a long time to get us all out actually together as a team, but at the end they pulled through and it was a great game today.
Was the standard of rugby high here today?
Today was probably one of the hardest matches we played all year, because it was so fast. The pace of the game was immense. There's a lot of people sucking these, as you say, halfway through the match. But throughout the match then you got your second win, so it came through. Our players kind of pulled through at the end of it.
How many years have you been playing this match?
It's third year I'm playing. I'm in third year now at the moment. So I played last 3 years.
Killian, from your perspective in UL, is this game important to your team?
Very important game. It's what a lot of players train for throughout the year, just coming up to this game. Everybody wants to play in it. This is basically the pinnacle of the year. It was a great game. It was a very, very competitive game. And the two teams are absolutely brilliant. And one more thing to say, it was very, very close.
Alan Ward spoke at the aftermatch reception. He impressed on those gathered the importance of sport in our society. He highlighted the way it can bring us together and bind us, especially in times of hardship. This was particularly relevant to the city of Limerick in early 2009.
It's important to remember just why we're here. It's funny, just in conversation over dinner there, we spoke about sport, how sport can be the link between so many people in so many different situations. And we were just saying there that, you know, even in times of, you know, it's a recession now and everyone's got the heads down, how sport and is an outlet for so many people. And, you know, we can't forget, for example, the feeling that was in Thomond Park that time just before the All Blacks game. And the showing of solidarity that the people of Limerick and the people of Munster in particular had for the Gagan family. And again, it's sports that has brought us together here, that has unified all of us through rugby to celebrate the memories and to celebrate the lives of John and Andy O'Brien. And it's important that people like yourselves and everybody involved helps keep their memories alive. And I know that your showing here today and your contributions will be very well received by the family indeed.
Stars. Two young lights, too young to leave. Heads shake, they cannot believe. Gone so quickly, no chance for goodbye. On everyone's lips, one word, why? Why them? Why now? Why two bitter body blows? Why the answer? Nobody knows. Andrew's hands could create and fuse, his creations worthy of any muse. A ready friend to people near and far, a talent that could turn a bin into a beetle car. John, the athlete and brilliant mind, echoed his family by being kind. What would he have achieved had he stayed? But his smile, the years, will never fade. What we all achieve is how we are gauged. They could accomplish more than once treble their age. Sad eyes, sad hearts, left behind on a limb. The only thing we're sure of is that we're following them. To young lights that could not stay, turned into stars. Stars never go away.
Wired FM would like to thank everybody who is involved in the making of Sideline Times. This documentary was produced by Wired FM in conjunction with the Broadcasting Commission of Ireland Sound and Vision Funding Scheme.